This is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour featuring Bill Harmon.
Good shot. It's
about time.
Man, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour is powered by Insperity with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, well, we're all back together again this morning after a holiday weekend. Charlie is back in Houston, Texas after his trip to the Dominican Republic. And, man, it's December 2nd, Charlie. So that means that, you know, there's not really much going on in the golf world, right? December 2nd, the fall season's wrapped up. Nothing going on in golf this week, huh?
It's my birthday.
It's your birthday, too?
73.
Wow, 73. I was going to guess 63.
I'm over
Happy
par.
Birthday, Charlie. I didn't know that.
Thank you.
What are you doing to celebrate? Any big plans? You going to watch Tiger? What's the deal?
I'm going to play golf with my daughter, Mimi, and my grandson, Charlie, this afternoon at Golf Club of Houston to celebrate my 73rd birthday.
Oh, congratulations, Charlie. Happy birthday.
You know what Sam Snead advice is to old guys like me?
What's that?
Just keep on playing.
Just keep away. It's fun, right? Might as well keep doing it.
Yes, it is.
So can Charlie beat you yet, your grandson? How old is he?
Not yet. He's 11.
He's 11. He can't beat you yet. How many years you give him? Two? Year and a half?
He's close.
He's close now. Yeah. What was I going to say? But how about an adult beverage later on tonight? A lot of good football going on. Tiger is going to be playing.
Who?
Tiger Woods. You heard of him? I guess he's golfing again.
I've been down at beautiful Casa de Campo for 21 days. Who's Tiger?
Yeah, this Tiger Woods guy, he's an older player on the tour right now. He's been golfing this week over at the Bahamas, and apparently it's been a big story.
I thought he retired.
Well, I think we all thought he did, right? And all of a sudden, we hadn't seen him play well since really, what, 2013 maybe? He came out of nowhere. So, yeah, this Tiger Woods guy, if you have an opportunity this afternoon, I would advise you check him out. He's a good golfer.
I text our good friend Bill Harmon, who's going to join us here in a couple minutes. I said, is Tiger going to win the slam? The Grand Slam. And he says, Charlie, Tiger's already won the Grand Slam. I said, no, Bill, he won the Tiger Slam.
Right.
The Grand Slam. It's unbelievable what he's doing. I mean, I can't believe it.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in greater detail. As you said, Bill Harmon's going to join us in about 3 to 4 minutes from now. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio. And if you're listening to us in Houston, you're listening on the all-new Crystal Clear SportsMap 94.1.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, and Bill Harmon now with us. And Bill, I don't know if you heard, Charlie Epps, 73rd birthday today.
Oh, I did not hear that.
Yeah, big day for Charlie.
Happy birthday there, Charlie.
Bill, I thank you very much. I can't believe I'm over par. But here we go.
I'm just a little curious. Is Tiger playing this week? I didn't hear.
Yeah, I heard he's playing golf.
Is he playing this week? I haven't been paying attention.
It's just mind-boggling what he does once he gets on the golf course, and I can't believe how good he looks, Bill. I mean, not only just physically and his face and his demeanor. But he's hit some great golf shots, great chips, great putts.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of it live. I've been working, so all I've seen is the highlights. And I would think if you were Tiger Woods, you would be very, very, very encouraged with what you're doing. And he appears to look like he's swinging the best he's swung the golf club, really. Long, long time, in my opinion. So I got to believe if you're in his camp, you're very encouraged with the first 2 days of this event.
Well, you posted on Facebook that this swing today looks closer to 2,000 than it has been since then.
Well, I think the backswing for sure, Charlie. I think the downswing, he might have some physical restrictions because of his bat, but you know, his left arm is much higher than it has been under Hank, let's say, and Sean. I'm not criticizing any of that stuff because he played very well that way. But his left arm at the top of the swing appears to be closer to it was in 2000, and the club is more neutral. So it just looks a little bit closer to me anyway, to what it looked like in the early 2000s.
Well, Brian was making a comment earlier that, you know, the back problem was really causing him not to sleep. And so consequently, you know, he had that bout with, you know, taking painkillers and stuff like that. And it seems that he's pain-free, he's drug-free. It's just so encouraging. And I'm finally come full circle. I just admire this guy. I mean, in his golf game, it's just what he's done and what he could do.
Well, you know, I've said on this show many, many times as we've talked about Tiger the last few years as he's been sick and not playing, and I've pretty much always qualified everything I've said by the Tiger Woods factor. You know, if anybody can come back from this stuff, it's going to be Tiger Woods. And if he gets playing well, the Tiger Woods factor will kick in, I believe. And if anybody can do it, he can do it because he dominated a game that couldn't be dominated. So he hasn't forgotten how to win. So if he knows where the ball is going and his short game can get above average, I'm pretty sure he can handle the rest. I would never anticipate him dominating the way he once did, but winning tournaments, yes. I would say that I would, from what I've seen, the highlights that I've seen, to use one of his phrases over the years, if he just cleans up a couple things, he's going to be very competitive again, and that'll be great for the game of golf.
Well, the first day, unlike the fourth hole, his first test came, and he had about a 20-yard chip pitch up a hill into the green, and we all know that's a hard shot no matter what condition, what age you are, but he stubbed it, and I said, uh-oh. But then he went up there, and he just stood up to the 20-footer and put it right in the hole. And to me, that's what Tiger was good at. I mean, he's going to hit some funny shots, but his bounce back is as good as anybody's. And to see him go from 100-1 to 15-1 in Vegas to win the Masters in 2 days, it just shows you the respect that the bettors have on this guy. I mean, it's exciting. I want him back.
Yeah, and the other thing is Vegas doesn't want to have egg on its face, right? Because if Tiger ends up playing well in the Masters and they have those odds all the way up, everybody's going to be, you know how it happens, is Tiger Woods is playing well this weekend, everybody's going to go to Vegas and hammer Tiger Woods. Just to put a reference point on it, he's 7-under par. He'll play with Hideki Matsuyama today at the Hero World Challenge. They tee off at 12:53 Eastern Time, 11:53 in the Central Time Zone. Charlie Hoffman right now has the lead at 12-under par. And, Bill, you mentioned cleaning up a couple of little things like Tiger has said himself in the past. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, you know, he's bogeyed a few par fives. He's had a few three putts. Over the years, Tiger might shoot a 70 one day, and you know, and the reporters would ask him what was wrong with him. He said, you know, I need to clean up a couple things, and I'd be 66 or 7, and he'd go out the next day and shoot 66 or 7. So I think the cleanup stuff means that these aren't major things that have to improve. And most pro golfers don't make a lot of sixes on par fives. Had he birdied those holes that he made six on, he could be tied for the lead now. So I think it's his way of saying, and I think he's correct, of how close he is to being in the lead rather than how far he is. So in his mind, I think he's always looking at what is possible. And he looks at it realistically. If he cleans up a couple three putts and a couple bad pitches and a bad drive here and there, he's going to improve five or six shots. And when he was healthy, that appeared to be what he did when he played. He would clean up those things the next day and shoot 65.
Yeah, and Charlie, you and Bill were both talking about earlier the swing at Tiger Woods. Nota Begay, of course, does great work for the Golf Channel, Tiger's former teammate at Stanford. He said that Tiger looks more athletic with a swing this time around compared to other comeback attempts for Tiger Woods. Do you notice that, and what does he mean by that in particular when he says he looks more athletic?
I've never – I mean, he is physically sound, and so the swing is quicker. His setup over the ball, he really looks like he's in it, and then his execution is great. His pace is really picked up. His distance is back, so he's aggressive through the golf ball. His hips.
I think what Charlie's saying is we really don't know what that term means. Looks athletic.
That's
and I don't. I've heard that thrown around. You know. He looks athletic.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means. Yeah. Do you really know what that means, Charlie?
You know, I think an athlete, if you look at somebody running, jumping, they just do it at a speed that is above normal. And
would you say that all 18 players there look athletic? I would.
Sure. A professional at that level, whether it be in the NFL, in basketball, the NBA, at golf, the game is played at a different speed, and I guess that translates into being an athlete, at being athletic.
Yeah. One thing I can relate to.
I just think it's one of those terms that's kind of thrown around. He looks athletic. Well, yeah. What does that really mean? You know, he looks athletic. He is an athlete.
Kind of an elite athlete.
Kind of
a cliche or something along those lines.
Yeah, big-time cliche.
Yeah. One thing I can relate to, though, is Ernie Els, who, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he designed the course over there in the Bahamas.
Yes.
Or at least had a role in it. He was doing an interview during the round Thursday, with the Golf Channel, and he said that when he hugged Tiger at the President's Cup, he felt like a football player. You can tell when you look at Tiger Woods on the golf course right now, he is in tremendous shape once again.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, he's a linebacker.
Man, he looks impressive out there.
He's athletic.
He's athletic.
That's right. He looks athletic over the ball.
Yeah, he looks a little more athletic than Charlie Hoffman, but then again, Charlie Hoffman has the lead.
Now, he doesn't look athletic.
You know, it's interesting. Because this is a wonderful story. But if this were a full field event, you know, I kind of did the math. There's about 1/8 the size of a field for 56 players.
Yeah, 18 guys, right,
Bill? Tiger would probably be in 30th or 40th place, which, by the way, would still be good. But I think we're getting a little intoxicated that he's in 5th place in an 18-man field. And I think it's great, and I'm all for it. But I think if it were a 156-man field, we would still be very impressed with how he's playing. But I don't think 12-under would be leading, and I'm quite certain he wouldn't be in 5th place. So I think we have to temper some of it a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit.
Yes, I kind of jump off the handle. But last year when he played in this, he shot 65 on Friday. And then couldn't finish. So we have that. You know, backs are incredibly delicate, especially when they've been fused. And how long can this last? Can it last a full season? 20 tournaments. Time will only tell.
Yeah, and to your point, his front nine yesterday, he was excellent. He had the eagle, I believe, on 9 to finish. I think he was 4-under on the front nine yesterday. And then he kind of came back to earth on the back nine. So maybe that's something to look forward to today. All right, we'll continue to talk about Tiger Woods. Plus, Charlie and Bill will give you their tip of the week coming up. You're listening to the Charlie Ips Golf Hour right here on SB Nation Radio. And in Houston, you're listening on 94.1.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Ips Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Ips, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, we're getting into the stuff with Tiger Woods as he plays at the Hero World Challenge, making his return. It's the first time in 300 days that he's actually played competitive golf. He's 7-under par. That is 5 strokes back of the lead that Charlie Hoffman has. Tiger will play with Hideki Matsuyama today. So let's get into this a little bit, Charlie and Bill. So Tiger on Thursday, Charlie, he struggled with his wedge play. And then we saw on Friday his wedge play looked a lot better. What does that say about where Tiger's at in his return to competitive golf?
The more he plays, the better he's going to get because he can find out what he's doing and he can correct it. He's one of the guys that can do that. So that was just natural. And if he plays in 20 tournaments, he's going to get really good. That's the way I look at it, Bill. How about you?
Yeah, I think any time you take a lot of time off from golf, for whatever reason, it's very hard to get the short game dialed in from distance-wise. And by all accounts, from what I've read, a couple bad wedge shots he's hit has been kind of into the grain on tight Bermuda fairways, which would be difficult shots anyway. But I really think when you don't play a lot of golf, Charlie, distance control and sometimes contact around the greens isn't what you'd like it. And but then I heard yesterday he hit some marvelous shots. So I don't know. I think that it appears that his game is much better than it's been in many, many years. And if that's the case, we could be in for quite an exciting ride here in 2018.
I stayed home yesterday to clean up some stuff in my office and all that, and I watched it, and then I rewatched it last night. And Bill, you can't believe a couple of the chips that he made that were mag, you know.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard he hit some just fantastic ones.
Some great nippers, and there was no flinching. I mean, and I recorded it. I stopped, and it really looks good. And today with the cameras, where they got the club face getting on the ball and the ball riding up the face, I mean, it was pure as ever.
And you know what's interesting too, Charlie, is you referenced those chips that he had yesterday. And Jim Bones McKay, of course, Phil Mickelson's longtime caddy, so he's on the bag for Phil all those years. Phil, one of the greatest wedge players we've ever seen. I forget exactly what hole it was yesterday, but Tiger was pretty close to the green, and Bones said that Phil would have putted that. He said that's how confident Tiger Woods is right now with his wedge play, that he's willing to not putt that, where somebody like Phil Mickelson, one of the greatest ever in that particular area of the game, would have putted. Yeah.
Bill, yesterday on 17, which is the par 3, he hit the hole was playing very difficult, so he hit it in the far right corner of the green. So he would had to putt over the fringe, and he chipped it. And he played the prettiest little chip and run, nipped it off the green, didn't even touch the grass. Perfect.
Well, I'll let you in on an interesting story, and I'm not going to name the player, but okay. At the President's Cup this year, Jay Haas was riding around with Freddie Couples, one of the matches. And it came up to a match that Tiger was watching. And Tiger said to Freddie and Jay, and I'm not going to mention the player's name, but have you seen this guy chip? And they said, well, a little bit. And Tiger said, well, he pitches the ball the same way he chips, and that's why he doesn't win more often. And Jay thought it was quite interesting that, you know, Tiger was that observant. But he was also figuring out, here's a good player that's good enough to be on the President's Cup team, but he hadn't won a lot of tournaments. And Tiger's trying to figure all that out. And Tiger's come up with, well, the guy doesn't know how to pitch the ball. And so that's how keen and observant and how smart Tiger is.
Well,
and so when I hear these stories about these wonderful pitch shots he's hitting, he knows that you have to be a good pitcher of the ball to win a lot of tournaments. All you got to do is look at what Jordan Spieth is doing, right?
Yeah. But, Bill, you go back to your father. You go back to Paul Runyon and Nicklaus, to Lee Trevino. All these guys figured it out, and they watch you. You know, just like one day I played with Mr. Hogan up and we got through playing. I said, Mr. Hogan, did you see anything that he said, Charlie, the only thing on 16, you hit one solid shot all day long. So the only thing that proved to me, he was watching.
Oh, I mean, they watch everything.
You know, these guys don't miss an opportunity. So Tiger has got a keen eye, and here we go with Tiger again.
Speaking of adjustments, Bill referenced earlier the fact that Tiger on the first day struggled with the par fives. Yesterday, by my math, he was four under par on par fives. Another example.
He cleaned it up.
Yeah. What's the difference? How do you go from one day where you struggle so much to the next day?
Well,
where
the one day, you know, on the par fives, he missed a couple drives. He changed his lines. He changed where he's going to aim. He just feels the shot a little more, and he doesn't back away. And the ninth hole yesterday from 285, he hit a three wood that they said it went over the moon to about 20 feet, and it stopped like a wedge, Bill. I mean, you know,
I saw a replay of that shot. That was really something.
And that swing, and once, you know, a good player, when he hits it and they start walking after it, you know that
you know
swing
it's as good
perfect.
As they got.
Yeah. That balance was, you know, just everything going forward. So are we euphoric over Tiger Woods being back?
I was. I got to tell you, that front the front nine he had yesterday.
Yeah. He was 6 under.
Yeah, he was 6 under par on the front nine. And maybe it sounds hyperbolic, but it's been the funnest round I've watched this year since Sergio, recently, since Sergio and Justin Rose were going back and forth at the Masters. That's how interested I was in Tiger on the front nine. I get it's not a big-time tournament or anything along those lines, but just watching Tiger Woods dominate that front nine yesterday, I was completely intrigued. I couldn't turn it off.
But all the leading, you know, ESPN, all the leading sports, you know, Tiger's back, Tiger's this, Tiger's that. So, yes, it's great.
Yeah, what does that mean, though, Charlie, in particular, the fact that this is an otherwise, in the golf world, it's an interesting tournament because you have some of the best players, mostly the best players in the world. It's only an 18-player field. But from a casual sports perspective, this tournament's not a big story. But it is now because
Tiger's
of Tiger.
A big story.
Exactly, because
Tiger,
it's Tiger Woods.
When Nolan Ryan pitched for the Astros, they had 12,000 more people there every time he pitched. He's an icon, and Tiger has reached that, not only as an athlete, but also his ups and downs of his personal life. He lives it out in front of everybody, and in our society today, they like to see big guys fall and come back. And it's the American way. It's the world's that way. So he's a world-class player.
Yeah, Bill, how good is it for the sport that an event like the Hero World Challenge was the number one story with Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter yesterday?
Well, I think that's what you're finding out, is that he is a kind of a polarizing figure in many ways, because, quite frankly, there's a lot of people that don't root for him, you know, that don't necessarily like him. So I think he's got interest coming from every possible angle. But I agree with Charlie. I think that we'd love to see people come back. And this could be back in sports history. If he can, you know, come back and even just win another tour event from where he was, I think would be one of the truly great, great stories in sports. And let's face it, he has always captured the imagination of the public. The fact that he's been away really hasn't won a major since 2008. I think if he gets competitive again on a regular basis, golf will explode once again.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Bill. And it seems like everybody's almost on the verge of starting to explode. Real quickly, we got about a minute left here, Charlie. What's been your favorite part about watching Tiger so far this week?
How good he looks. I'm amazed. I mean, I those mug shots that we saw a few weeks back, they're just so sad. And to go from that to this, it just shows everybody in the world, no matter where you are in your life, don't give up. Keep working hard. You can come back. You know, to me, that there's hope. I think that's the biggest thing, to see him come back. I admire that. I just get off the mat and let's go.
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch. You think about it. People are writing him off. Tiger Woods is never going to come back. And here we go. I get it's only two rounds, but he's been entertaining to watch, and he looks much healthier as well, as you pointed out, Charlie. All right, a lot more coming right here in the Charlie Ips Golf Hour. Charlie and Bill will give you their tip of the week coming up. Plus, Phil Mickelson, he's made a permanent change on his bag. We'll get to all that coming up right here on SB Nation Radio and locally in Houston, Sports Map 94.1.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, a couple other things we're going to get into. Adam Scott, he is struggling mightily right now, and Phil Mickelson makes a permanent change to his bag, although he's pretty familiar with the caddy. We'll get to that in a little bit, but just putting a bow on some of the Tiger Woods conversation. What concerns, Charlie, do you still have in regards to Tiger? I get it's only two rounds, but what are the concerns you still have?
Can he stay healthy?
That's number one.
Can his back, that, you know, he could get euphoric too and over practice. He's got to watch that. He's got to limit his time. But that's my only concern, his health.
What about you, Bill?
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. If he stays healthy, you know, Tiger is kind of, by his own admission, a golf geek. And a golf nerd. And if he, you know, coming back from all these years of inactivity and pain and stuff like that, if he's healthy and he can work on his game, I got to believe that he'll figure out a way to get it done, because no one's ever figured out a way to get it done better than him. So if his body is at 75%, 80%, I really think he'll be able to figure out how to win again, because he is he's almost a ruthless winner. I mean, we've never really seen a winner in our sport quite like this guy. So I'm with Charlie. If he can stay healthy, he'll figure out the rest of it.
Yeah, Charlie was referencing a little bit earlier his favorite part of Tiger Woods during his round yesterday and on Thursday. Well, my favorite part is Tiger Woods dropped the classic F-bomb on TV, and he also dropped the "come on, Tiger" when he's talking to himself. That's my favorite part about Tiger Woods, when he starts talking to himself. But that, to me, when he's dropping the F-bombs like he's done throughout his career, when he's yelling at himself in the first person, that means to me, the way I look at that is, that means the competitor Tiger Woods is back, because that means that he's now confident in what he's doing on the golf course, that he's back into that killer mindset that he had for so many years, which helped him become so successful. I love it when he's yelling at himself.
You know, it reminds me of watching the World Series with the Astros this whole year, but in the playoffs, in the competitiveness, in Jose Altuve, what kind of player he is. And Tiger is right there with him. You know, I mean, Justin Verlander, when he came out of the back of the dugout and yelling at his team to encourage, that's exactly what Tiger was doing to himself, you know.
Did the Astros win the World Series? I don't remember that.
Hey, you came in and enjoyed it. So
yes, I did.
You're a converted Astros fan. I mean, I know you still got Dodger blue blood in you, but
I do. But I was very happy for the Astros and Jim Crane and the whole organization in the city of Houston. It was a terrific win.
Rudy Tomjanovich said it really well in 93-94 when the Houston Rockets won the NBA championships. Never, never underestimate the heart of a champion.
And didn't Rudy say it like champion?
Champion. But Tiger is the champion of champions, and you can't underestimate him. You just can't. He's won me over.
No, I think I'm going to start yelling at myself in the first person daily on things like, put your blinker on quicker, Brian, you know, just to kind of motivate myself. Because if it works for Tiger, I guess it can work for anybody. Okay, so hypothetical situation, if Tiger plays really well today, say we could hypothetically get him in the final pairing in this Hero World Challenge. Who would you most like to see? And Jordan Spieth is up there, by the way. Spieth, quietly, who's been one of the better players in the world, is at 9-under par. Nobody's talking about that. But who would you like to see Tiger, if we could get it to happen, go toe-to-toe with tomorrow?
Spieth?
Yeah, I got to go the same. I think it would be great, great theater to see those two out there, because Jordan is almost on par with Tiger when it comes to the ability to compete and to demand the utmost out of himself. So Jordan doesn't have all of Tiger's physical skills, but he has a lot of Tiger's want to and desire and the ability to get it done even when he doesn't have his best stuff. So I think Jordan is the strongest player mentally that we have on tour today. And Tiger obviously set the standard of what it's like to be strong mentally.
Bill, you know what? It's a tremendous point. If you guys remember back to the Open Championship this year, remember when Jordan, I believe it was either a long putt or a chip in, and he threw the club to the side, pointed to his caddy Michael Greller, and said, "Go pick that up." I loved when he did that.
50-foot eagle putt.
It was a putt, yeah. It was an eagle putt. Man, I loved when he did that because we don't see that all the time in the golf world, really, guys being that ultra-competitive. And Jordan Spieth was so in the moment that he just let the emotions get the best of him. That was awesome. So I'm with you. That would be so entertaining to see those two go back and forth.
Well, it's like watching Springer hit that home run after he had missed that line drive and let a couple runs come in. When he hit that home run, to see him go around the base, you know, I mean, that's – in the moment, those emotions are so, so wonderful.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Do you have to keep bringing? Do you have to keep bringing those things up, Charlie, about the Astro stuff? I was at that game, so I saw that in person.
Yeah,
I've got to admit that whole series from Boston, New York to L.A. was just an incredible sports experience that. Very few people get to appreciate it or to experience it and to win. I mean, think about our franchise. You know, first time in 65 years. But, yeah, that was just raw joy. Raw.
Yeah,
and you're going to hear more about it too, Bill.
Yeah, and you know what, Bill? Now he's getting on my bad side because he's referencing the fact that the Astros beat my team, the Red Sox. Now he's attacking my team as well.
What color is my shirt?
Orange. You got the Astros theme on today.
I even went down to the team store to buy some stuff. I mean, you know, it just anyway.
You mean that isn't the orange for the University of Texas to be playing in the conference championship game? Oh, that's right, they're not playing it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we got OU TCU in what, about 2 hours and 15 minutes? So that should be a good game as well. Hey, believe it or not, at this Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas, Charlie and Bill. Charlie, there's actually other players there. We referenced Jordan Spieth. He's there. So I get Charlie Hoffman. He's got the lead at 12 under par. Who outside of Tiger Woods has impressed you the most so far this week?
Nobody. I mean,
well, I'd say Charlie Hoffman, you know, from what I've seen. Someone, I don't know this for a fact, but somebody was telling me this morning he made 12 birdies yesterday. Is that
12 birdies. He had four pars or something like that.
He's rolling.
Yeah. A unique individual. I mean, he's cool, calm, and...
got a good swing too, boy.
Ball never leaves, you know, where he's aiming. I mean, that's really good.
And you know who else?
A very, very underrated good player, I think. Kind of a late bloomer, but very, very good.
The only thing I couldn't handle early on was his hair.
Well, he's changed that for you, Charlie.
Yeah, he has. But I mean,
at 73, you wish you had it.
That's
hey,
exactly
for 73,
right.
Charlie's got pretty much a full head of hair.
I do. It's gray, but it hadn't let loose.
Charlie, am I going to see you in the next couple of days?
Next couple of days.
Are you doing a thing at River Oaks on Monday?
You know, I'm not. I scheduled to be out of town. You know, that's my part of a yard deal. You're coming in for it?
That's just great. You know, your great buddy Dick Harmon, you know, it comes time to do something for him, boy, and you're going to play golf down in Porter. Drink margaritas, man, I'll tell you.
Well, if you're trying to make me feel bad, you are, but it was just a scheduling problem.
No, somehow I don't think I am making you feel bad.
Are you coming in for it?
Yes, I am.
You know, it's going to be a special occasion. They, you know, it's sold out. Nancy and the kids and Rick.
I've heard that, yes.
They've done a wonderful job in continuing the legacy of your great brother. And
once the city of Houston heard that you weren't going to be there, they sold out very quickly.
Yes, that's exactly right. But they're naming the new teaching center there in your brother's honor, which is really, really
I didn't
neat.
Know that.
Yes. So I keep up with it, Bill.
Okay, Charlie, I'm
it'll be
checking on you.
You're going to make me cry here in a minute.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah.
You had to bring him down off his Astros high, Bill, I guess. So,
Joe, let's talk a little bit about Adam Scott. That was a very interesting topic there, Brian.
So he missed the cut at the Aussie Open. How much trouble? He's gone from, at one point, he was number one in the world. He's now 30th in the world. How bad is Adam Scott's game right now? We'll start with you on this one, Bill.
Well, I think Charlie would agree with this. Adam has never been by nature a good putter. So it's very, very hard to play good golf consistently at this level, not being a good putter. And when they took away the anchored putter, then he struggled even more. I think the other thing is Adam is a very, very nice, quiet, reserved young man who has many other interests. And he's now a father of two young children. And, you know, maybe at the moment the desire just isn't there. It's everyone thinks that these guys wake up every morning and breathe golf and live golf. They're human just like the rest of us. And I don't think by nature, you know, Adam is one of those guys that's just going to grind. I think he's a very well-balanced young man. And I'd say his personality, to me, kind of dictates a little bit of ebb and flow in his career.
What do you think, Charlie?
You know, I'm agreeing far too much with Bill this morning, but yes, yes, I agree with all he said. But the one thing that I did see is that he's gone like Bernard Langer. He has gone back to
his... I think it's a good move.
It's his perfect move. I think that the change of the putter has hurt him more than most people. And there's four or five guys that have you know, really went backwards since they couldn't anchor that. But I think his new system, that Bernard Langer, where you don't anchor it, but you use
it. You know, I've been putting that way for 5 years. It's very easy. And I went from a bad putter to a good putter doing it. So I don't think it'll be that hard for him once he gets used to it. I think it's a very easy way to putt myself. Yeah.
And the only other thing, I wish it would have happened before he beat Uncle in the 2013 Masters.
You wish the struggles came before that, huh?
But he's a super athlete. He's got a lot to look forward to, and I think he'll be back.
Will he ever be a top 10 guy again, though?
I don't know. That's a
good
question.
I think if he wants to, he will be. But once again, Adam's a wonderful young man. He's got a lot of different interests. Got all the money you'll ever need. And sometimes people want to live their lives, you know, and they don't want to grind over every 5 or 6 footer. And I think it just kind of sheds a light on how good some of these players are that have remained on top for great lengths of time. The Normans, the Curtis Granges, the Faldos, obviously Jack. And it takes a lot of desire, don't you think, Charlie, to remain on top for decades?
Unbelievable.
It really does.
It takes you 8 to 10 years to get there, and then you get 6 or 7 years at that level, and you're worn out, and you got to revitalize yourself. You know, look what Jay Haas did. You know, that can happen. And Jay Haas, what he did after the age of 50 is unheard of, and what Bernard Langer is doing. But you know, the bottom line is golf is a game of a lifetime, and you can play it as a junior, you play it as an adult, and then you play it as a senior, and you have that whole thing to look forward to. And you know, we never retire from golf.
No doubt about that. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Phil Mickelson. He's made a change on his bag permanently. He's pretty familiar with the guy that's going to be on his bag. And also, we got to get Bill and Charlie's tip of the week coming up. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio and in Houston on SportsMap 94.1.
This is SB Nation Radio, and you're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, with the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, and Bill Harmon. Here's Brian Barrett.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left to work with, so we got to fly through these real quickly here. First, let's get to Phil Mickelson. Charlie, Phil, new guy on his bag, is somebody he's familiar with, his brother Tim. He's going to be on the bag permanently. Remember, he made the switch from Bones last season, and Tim was on the bag for the last 5 months of the season. You like the change?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. No problem with it.
Bill, any issues you can run in with the brother?
Yeah, I think the same thing. Probably nobody knows this game better than his brother, and as long as they get along fine, I think it's a real smart move on Phil's part.
I mean, Bill used to caddy for his brother Butch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole. We could do a whole show on that.
We got to do that one day. We got to get some Butchisms.
It is pretty. Yeah. It is pretty cool though that the last couple years of his career, he's going to have his brother on the bag. All right, so let's get
very cool.
Let's get to your tip of the week, Charlie.
you know, just like what Lee Trevino said, or Sam Snead said, an older guy asking him, give me a tip, give me a swing tip. He said, yeah, just keep on playing. Everybody, just keep on playing. You got to play. You got to play. And, Bill, you got to play more.
Well, I do. But I think from what I see, most amateur golfers, Charlie, are incredibly bad bunker players. I would implore our listeners to get some lessons out of the bunker. It should be an easy shot. And I see so many people that play bunkers so poorly. So I think people need to improve their bunker play.
100%. I had to
All
say
right,
that.
We got 100% in there.
I had to say that.
But hey, we got you guys to agree. Good.
Bill's dad, Claude, changed my life when he came to Houston, and he gave me some bunker information that was just incredible. And for a gentleman that was a pro at a course called Wingfoot, where the bunkers are really hazards, and you really had to be good, and he knew how to do it, and I'll never forget that.
All right, so before we go, we got about 40 seconds. Bill, where does Tiger end up finishing this weekend?
10th.
10th out of 18. So you got him dropping back a little bit throughout the weekend. How about you, Charlie?
I had that same number. Bill,
you're at 10?
What's going on?
I don't know, Charlie.
I'll say 9th.
Charlie, I'll see you on Monday. Oh, that's right. You're not going to be there.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye, guys.
All right, thanks to Bill Harmon, thanks to Charlie Epps, thanks to Bobby Beats for producing this morning. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe and be well.